Amex NetFin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Well, first off, thanks so much for your exhaustive attention to history and understanding the backgrounds to the relationships between Russia and Ukraine over the years. But I had two points I wanted to get to, and I'm wondering if you can expound on them, take my answer off the air. The first is a question of Putin's possible fear of assassination. And you had mentioned, well, maybe if he went to the Crimea and just tried to hide out, he knows that he just wouldn't be able to survive. So the first question would have to be about exile. There are lots of leaders of countries that things go badly and they take exile someplace else. Couldn't Putin, with his $200 billion that they theorize that he owns, making him one of the wealthiest people on the planet, couldn't he get exile by exile in a place like Dubai or something like that with that amount of money? And then the second question that I'd really like to hear your thoughts about is this notion that Russia is large. It has a huge number of nukes and the material to make nukes. But also one of the things that's valuable, as I understand it, are those scientists who know how to construct those weapons. So I'm interested in your thoughts about if there were a change in leadership, how do the nukes play into it? And is there a possibility of some unknown person, Russia's version of Zelensky, coming into play and making a difference in terms of any kind of change in leadership in this country? So a lot to talk about, but there you go.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, Joe, thank you so much for those very profound questions. So, yeah. Let me, when you talk about Ukraine, and I'll say this again, but in the 10th century, in the 900s, Russia was a forest inhabited by wolves. Ukraine was a civilization. And the Prince Volodymyr of Ukraine, for whom Zelensky is named, his name is Volodymyr Zelensky, or Vladimir Putin, you know, they're very similar names. That prince baptized the Ukrainian, the Kiev. He was in Kiev. He wasn't in Moscow. There was no Moscow. And what he did was he baptized everybody in the Dnieper River. It's called the Confession of Rus in 988. The name Rus for Russia really comes from Swedish, ancient Swedish. And there wasn't any Russian nation back then. Then Russia took off, and now it's a large nation. But, you know, Ukraine is the size of Texas and has 44 million people. And it's no tiny nation itself. Your two questions are excellent. If let's say that Putin saw the handwriting on the wall, are there places where we could exile him? Dubai is an excellent one because there are Russian billionaires who do live there, and they work out of there because money talks, and especially in that culture, and they could hire security and they could be reasonably secure. I don't see the U.S. or any European country on a vengeance gig against them. There may be some Ukrainians who lost their families, it would be. But basically, that would be one way. Nazis hid out in South America, although the Israelis tracked Adolf Eichmann and grabbed him. But some Nazis got away with remote areas down in Chile and Argentina. You'd think that he would be secure in Beijing, because Xi has total control over that country, but culturally that would be difficult. But here's the problem with all this, Joe. I don't see Putin agreeing to that, because there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. And the minute you agree to something like that, people see weakness and they may kill you on the way out. I think that basically this guy, the only way he's going to agree to something like that is if he has a military defeat, he sees the handwriting on the wall and he proposes it himself. That's number one. Number two, your second question, actually, you had several other questions, and I'm not sure I remember every one of them. But in terms of the nukes and the scientists, and is there a Zelensky? Because, you know, Ukraine at one time was not the way it is right now. I mean, Zelensky is a breath of fresh air. And there is a guy, Alexei Navalny, and he is in prison for 9 years. And assuming they don't kill him in prison, because they tried to poison him in Siberia, remember, a year or so ago, and he almost died. He fortunately went to Germany and they cured him, but he almost died. He's capable of doing it. He is the Zelensky, but Putin would have to be out of there. He'd have to be released from prison. When it comes to nuclear weapons, the scientists, Ike would find it hard to believe that they're suicidal and that somehow they're going to follow a psychopath or a sociopath. But are there enough of them, if they got an order from Putin to launch a missile, would work with the military to do it? And if they were afraid that their families would be killed, I don't know. It's very possible that you have to assume that they would. So there you have it on Ukrainian history, Russian history, and also the present circumstance. Yes, I think technically, and I like your idea of Dubai, because absolutely all they care about in Dubai is money. And these billionaires have a lot of money. But I don't think that Putin is going to do that voluntarily if it's imposed. He would only do it if he thought he was about to be killed. And he threw that out as a desperation. I can't think of anywhere else in the world. You're not going to get away with South America anymore. Beijing in China, he doesn't trust them. And there's nowhere else. It isn't like Napoleon, you put him on Elba or something. So thank you very much for calling in. Excellent, excellent, excellent comments. Tucker Carlson, I hate to even mention his name. Tucker Carlson, once again, disgraced himself and his network. He had an interview with a guy named Nigel Farage, F-A-R-A-G-E, from Britain, UK. Nigel Farage is extreme right wing. He'd be the quote of the head of the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers or a white supremacist group here. So he interviews him, and Farage is pro-Putin, and Carlson's still pro-Putin, despite all these murders of civilians and women and children and little ones. And Nigel Farage attacked Europe. Quote, the EU empire is expanding and threatening Putin. This is British guy. And Carson agrees. And then Carson and Farage said, quote, we shouldn't have provoked Putin. What do you mean provoke Putin? Russia was, even with the thefts by the oligarchs, they were exporting oil and gas that was being bought. They had money. They could travel. You know, now nobody can fly out of Russia. No, nobody will let them land. And so this is Tucker Carlson yesterday, sticking up for Putin. Yesterday, right after Trump called on Putin to release dirt on the Biden family, just like he wanted Zelensky to do it and blackmailed him, said he wouldn't give him any more javelins and stingers to protect himself and his country unless he did it. This is yesterday with Carlson saying this. This is treason. What Trump did is treason. The Republicans argue, well, there hasn't been a formal declaration of war against Russia, so therefore it's not technically treason. Wait a minute. Declarations of war were all very medieval, even up to the 18th century. You slap the other guy in the face with a white glove and you go, I pray, good sir, I declare war on you. Well, nuclear missiles and hypersonic missiles take very little time to get here. President has to react. We are in a state of war. We're shipping stingers and javelins to kill Russian soldiers. And American troops are in Poland right near the Ukrainian border, and a missile hit Lviv 40 miles from them. This is treason. And the people that run the Fox network are doing this just to make money. They are betraying the United States. Donald Trump has betrayed the United States. The lines are live. Do not hang up. We're going to go to a break. I'm forced to a break, a very brief one. And right after the break, I'll be back. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Hang on the line. Get back to you right after the break.